entrusting with faith both body and soul to my care, that thus you may be considered worthy to draw near and offer sacrifice to God, and profitably receive the sacrament of my body. For there is no more worthy offering, no greater satisfaction for washing away sin, than to offer yourself purely and entirely to God with the offering of the body of Christ in Mass and Communion. If a man does what he can and is truly penitent, however often he comes to me for grace and pardon, as I live, saith the Lord God, I desire not the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. I will no longer remember his sins, but all will be forgiven him. Footnote 50, Ezekiel 33:11. The 8th chapter. The offering of Christ on the cross, our offering. The voice of Christ. As I offered myself willingly to God the Father for your sins, with hands outstretched and body naked on the cross, so that nothing remained in me that had not become a complete sacrifice to appease the divine wrath, so ought you to be willing to offer yourself to me, day by day in the Mass, as a pure and holy oblation, together with all your faculties and affections, with as much inward devotion as you can. What more do I ask than that you give yourself entirely to me? I care not for anything else you may give me, for I seek not your gift, but you. Just as it would not be enough for you to have everything if you did not have me, so whatever you can give cannot please me if you do not give yourself. Offer yourself to me, therefore, and give yourself entirely for God. Your offering will be accepted. Behold, I offered myself wholly to the Father for you. I even gave my whole body and blood for food, that I might be all yours and you mine forever. But if you rely upon self and do not offer your free will to mine, your offering will be incomplete and the union between us imperfect. Hence, if you desire to attain grace and freedom of heart, let the free offering of yourself into the hands of God precede your every action. This is why so few are inwardly free and enlightened. They know not how to renounce themselves entirely. My word stands. Every one of you that doth not renounce all that he possesseth cannot be my disciple. Footnote 51, Luke 14:33. If therefore you wish to be my disciple, offer yourself to me with all your heart. The 9th chapter. We should offer ourselves and all that we have to God, praying for all. The disciple. All things in heaven and on earth, O Lord, are yours. I long to give myself to you as a voluntary offering, to remain forever yours. With a sincere heart I offer myself this day to you, O Lord, to your eternal service, to your homage, and as a sacrifice of everlasting praise. Receive me with this holy offering of your precious body, which also I make to you this day, in the presence of angels invisibly attending, for my salvation and that of all your people. O Lord, upon your altar of expiation, I offer you all the sins and offenses I have committed in your presence and in the presence of your holy angels, from the day when I first could sin until this hour, that you may burn and consume them all in the fire of your love, and that you may wipe away their every stain. Cleanse my conscience of every fault, and restore to me your grace, which I lost in sin, by granting full pardon for all, and receiving me mercifully with the kiss of peace. What can I do for all my sins but humbly confess and lament them, and implore your mercy without ceasing? In your mercy, I implore you, hear me when I stand before you, my God. All my sins are most displeasing to me. I wish never to commit them again. I am sorry for them and will be sorry as long as I live. I am ready to do penance and make satisfaction to the utmost of my power. Forgive me, O God. Forgive me my sins for your holy name. Save my soul, which you have redeemed by your most precious blood. See, I place myself at your mercy. I commit myself to your hands. Deal with me according to your goodness, not according to my malicious and evil ways. I offer to you also all the good I have, small and imperfect though it be, that you may make it more pure and more holy, that you may be pleased with it, render it acceptable to yourself, and perfect it more and more, and finally that you may lead me, an indolent and worthless creature, to a good and happy end. I offer you also all the holy desires of your devoted servants, the needs of my parents, friends, brothers, sisters, and all who are dear to me, of all who for your sake have been kind to me or to others, of all who have wished and asked my prayers and masses for them and theirs, whether they yet live in the flesh or are now departed from this world, that they may all experience the help of your grace, the strength of your consolation, protection from dangers, deliverance from punishment to come, and that, free from all evils, they may gladly give abundant thanks to you. I offer you also these prayers and the sacrifice of propitiation for those especially who have in any way injured, saddened, or slandered me, inflicted loss or pain upon me, and also for all those whom I have at any time saddened, disturbed, offended, and abused by word or deed, willfully or in ignorance. May it please you to forgive us all alike our sins and offenses against one another. Take away from our hearts, O Lord, all suspicion, anger, wrath, contention, and whatever may injure charity and lessen brotherly love. Have mercy, O Lord, have mercy on those who seek your mercy. Give grace to those who need it, and make us such that we may be worthy to enjoy your favor and gain eternal life. The 10th chapter. Do not lightly forgo Holy Communion. The voice of Christ. You must often return to the source of grace and divine mercy, to the fountain of goodness and perfect purity, if you wish to be free from passion and vice, if you desire to be made stronger and more watchful against all the temptations and deceits of the devil. The enemy, knowing the great good and the healing power of Holy Communion, tries as much as he can by every manner and means to hinder and keep away the faithful and the devout. Indeed, there are some who suffer the worst assaults of Satan when disposing themselves to prepare for Holy Communion. As it is written in Job, "This wicked spirit comes among the sons of God to trouble them by his wonted malice, to make them unduly fearful and perplexed, that thus he may lessen their devotion or attack their faith to such an extent that they perhaps either forego communion altogether or receive with little fervor." No attention, however, must be paid to his cunning wiles, no matter how base and horrible. All his suggestions must be cast back upon his head. The wretch is to be despised and scorned. Holy Communion must not be passed by because of any assaults from him or because of the commotion he may arouse. Oftentimes also, too great solicitude for devotion and anxiety about confession hinder a person. Do as wise men do. Cast off anxiety and scruple, for it impedes the grace of God and destroys devotion of the mind. Do not remain away from Holy Communion because of a small trouble or vexation, but go at once to confession and willingly forgive all others their offenses. If you have offended anyone, humbly seek pardon, and God will readily forgive you. What good is it to delay confession for a long time or to put off Holy Communion? Cleanse yourself at once. Spit out the poison quickly. Make haste to apply the remedy, and you will find it better than if you had waited a long time. If you put it off today because of one thing, perhaps tomorrow a greater will occur to you, and thus you will stay away from communion for a long time and become even more unfit. Shake off this heaviness and sloth as quickly as you can, for there is no gain in much anxiety, in enduring long hours of trouble, and in depriving yourself of the divine mysteries because of these daily disturbances. Yes, it is very hurtful to defer Holy Communion long, for it usually brings on a lazy spiritual sleep. How sad that some dissolute and lax persons are willing to postpone confession and likewise wish to defer Holy Communion. lest they be forced to keep a stricter watch over themselves. Alas, how little love and devotion have they who so easily put off Holy Communion. How happy and acceptable to God is he who so lives and keeps his conscience so pure as to be ready and well disposed to communicate, even every day if he were permitted, and if he could do so unnoticed. If now and then a man abstains by the grace of humility or for a legitimate reason, his reference is commendable. But if laziness takes hold of him, he must arouse himself and do everything in his power, for the Lord will quicken his desire because of the good intention to which he particularly looks. When he is indeed unable to come, he will always have the good will and pious intention to communicate, and thus he will not lose the fruit of the sacrament. Any devout person may at any hour on any day receive Christ in spiritual communion, profitably and without hindrance. Yet on certain days and times appointed, he ought to receive with affectionate reverence the body of his Redeemer in this sacrament, seeking the praise and honor of God rather than his own consolation. For as often as he devoutly calls to mind the mystery and passion of the incarnate Christ and is inflamed with love for him, he communicates mystically and is invisibly refreshed. He who prepares himself only when festivals approach or custom demands will often find himself unprepared. Blessed is he who offers himself a sacrifice to the Lord as often as he celebrates or communicates. Be neither too slow nor too fast in celebrating, but follow the good custom common to those among whom you are. You ought not to cause others inconvenience or trouble, but observe the accepted rule as laid down by superiors, and look to the benefit of others rather than to your own devotion or inclination. The 11th chapter. The body of Christ and the sacred scripture are most necessary to a faithful soul. The disciple. O most sweet Lord Jesus, how great is the happiness of the devout soul that feasts upon you at your banquet, where there is set before her to be eaten no other food but yourself alone, her only lover, most desired of all that her heart can desire. To me it would be happiness indeed to shed tears in your presence from the innermost depths of love, and like the pious Magdalene to wash your feet with them. But where now is this devotion, this copious shedding of holy tears? Certainly in your sight, before your holy angels, my whole heart ought to be inflamed and weep for joy. For hidden though you are beneath another form, I have you truly present in the sacrament. My eyes could not bear to behold you in your own divine brightness, nor could the whole world stand in the splendor of the glory of your majesty. In veiling yourself in the sacrament, therefore, you have regard for my weakness. In truth, I possess and adore him whom the angels adore in heaven. I, as yet by faith, they face to face unveiled. I must be content with the light of the true faith and walk in it until the day of eternal brightness dawns and the shadow of figures passes away. When, moreover, that which is perfect shall have come, the need of sacraments shall cease. For the blessed in heavenly glory need no healing sacrament. Rejoicing endlessly in the presence of God, beholding his glory face to face, transformed from their own brightness to the brightness of the ineffable deity, they taste the word of God made flesh, as he was in the beginning, and will remain in eternity. Though mindful of these wonderful things, every spiritual solace becomes wearisome to me, because so long as I do not plainly see the Lord in his glory, I consider everything I hear and see on earth of little account. You are my witness, O God, that nothing can comfort me. No creature give me rest but you, my God, whom I desire to contemplate forever. But this is not possible while I remain in mortal life, and therefore I must be very patient and submit myself to you in every desire. Even your saints, O Lord, who now rejoice with you in the kingdom of heaven, awaited the coming of your glory with faith and great patience while they lived. What they believed, I believe. What they hoped for, I hope for. And whither they arrived, I trust I shall come by your grace. Meanwhile, I will walk in faith, strengthened by the example of the saints. I shall have, besides for comfort and for the guidance of my life, the holy books, and above all these, your most holy body for my special haven and refuge. I feel there are especially necessary for me in this life two things without which its miseries would be unbearable. Confined here in this prison of the body, I confess I need these two, food and light. Therefore you have given me in my weakness your sacred flesh to refresh my soul and body, and you have set your word as the guiding light for my feet. Without them I could not live aright, for the word of God is the light of my soul, and your sacrament is the bread of life. These also may be called the two tables, one here, one there, in the treasure house of Holy Church. One is the table of the holy altar, having the holy bread that is the precious body of Christ. The other is the table of divine law, containing holy doctrine that teaches all the true faith and firmly leads them within the veil, the Holy of Holies. Thanks to you, Lord Jesus, light of eternal light, for the table of your holy teaching which you have prepared for us by your servants, the prophets and apostles, and other learned men. Thanks to you, Creator and Redeemer of men, who, to declare your love to all the world, have prepared a great supper in which you have placed before us as food not the lamb, the type of yourself, but your own most precious body and blood, making all the faithful glad in your sacred banquet, intoxicating them with the chalice of salvation, in which are all the delights of paradise, and the holy angels feast with us, but with more happiness and sweetness. Oh, how great and honorable is the office of the priest to whom is given the consecration of the Lord of Majesty in sacred words, whose lips bless him, whose hands hold him, whose tongue receives him, and whose ministry it is to bring him to others. Oh, how clean those hands should be, how pure the lips, how sanctified the body, how immaculate the heart of the priest to whom the author of all purity so often comes. No word but what is holy, none but what is good and profitable ought to come from the lips of the priest who so often receives the sacrament of Christ. Single and modest should be the eyes accustomed to looking upon the body of Christ. Pure and lifted up to heaven the hands accustomed to handle the Creator of heaven and earth. To priests above all is written in the law, Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Let your grace, Almighty God, assist us that we who have undertaken the office of priesthood may serve you worthily and devoutly in all purity and with a good conscience. And if we cannot live as innocently as we ought, grant us at least to lament duly the wrongs we have committed, and in the spirit of humility and the purpose of a good will, to serve you more fervently in the future. The 12th chapter. The communicant should prepare himself for Christ with great care. The voice of Christ. I am the lover of purity, the giver of all holiness. I seek a pure heart, and there is the place of my rest. Prepare for me a large room furnished, and I with my disciples will keep the Pasch with you. If you wish that I come to you and remain with you, purge out the old leaven and make clean the dwelling of your heart. Shut out the whole world with all the din of its vices. Sit as the sparrow, lonely, on the housetop, and think on your transgressions in bitterness of soul. Everyone who loves prepares the best and most beautiful home for his beloved, because the love of the one receiving his lover is recognized thereby. But understand that you cannot, by any merit of your own, make this preparation well enough, though you spend a year in doing it and think of nothing else. It is only by my goodness and grace that you are allowed to approach my table, as though a beggar were invited to dinner by a rich man, and he had nothing to offer in return for the gift, but to humble himself and give thanks. Do what you can, and do that carefully. Receive the body of the Lord, your beloved God, who deigns to come to you, not out of habit or necessity, but with fear, with reverence, and with love. I am he that called you. I ordered it done. I will supply what you lack. Come and receive me. When I grant the grace of devotion, give thanks to God, not because you are worthy,